Most of us face some kind of financial problems at one time or another, and often that can make contributing to an RRSP hard, and it can be a real challenge to maintain the discipline of regular contributions throughout the year. So that's exactly why a loan can be helpful, or dangerous. Certified financial planner David Sweeney gives us the ups and downs of borrowing to save.
RRSP loans are often put to us from the banks as a good idea. How do we know if we can afford one?
Yeah, certainly the biggest thing you need to look at, I mean, one of the motivations of an RRSP loan is to at least get something into the RRSP, but use portion of the refund that you get back to offset the loan balance. What I mean simply by that is if somebody borrowed $10,000 and contributed into the RRSP and received a $4,000 refund, apply the $4,000 refund to the loan balance, leaving you with a net borrowing of $6,000, then decide on what you could set up as a payment. Certainly from the point of view of the payment is better to get at least money in now, so you've got $10,000 working for you, let's say, as opposed to saying, okay, well, no, I'm not going to do anything this year, and let's go into next year and just start saving it. Because obviously you've got the $10,000 in February and getting the full year's growth as opposed to trying to save $500 a month over the next 10 months.
So for the most part, an RRSP loan is a good idea?
Depending on, I mean, the big part is, as you said, it's your income.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to make the payment. If it's a squeeze whereby you might default, that becomes a concern, because what actually has to happen is the RRSP gets deregistered and you now have that income back on your hands. So you really have to have the ability to make the payment. If you do, certainly it's better off doing, and quite often these we call catch-up loans, whereby you're putting in a larger lump sum than just, say, $2,000 or $3,000. And to get a bigger refund. Ideally, though, you look at it based on where you are in the tax position. What people should be doing prior to making a contribution is knowing what the real tax impact is, as opposed to guessing. And that's all, honestly, looking in or having their provider prepare a tax return for them. And then they can make an informed decision knowing, okay, if I put in $3,000, here's what I get back. If I put in $5,000, here's what I get back. If I put in $10,000, here's what I get back.
Right, so they have solid numbers to look at.
Yeah, it's not just guessing, oh, I think I get 30% back. You really do need to know what you're getting back, in particular if you're taking out a loan, because and if you're going to apply a portion of that refund to the loan balance, you really need to know what is your outstanding balance on the loan going to be come June.
This can all be a really overwhelming process for people, for most people, I think. And, you know, looking at it, I think a lot of people just feel that they can't always afford it. How do you know how much we need to bank on having for our retirement?
That's sort of the crux of a financial plan. And that's sort of the unfortunate part of how most of us are preparing for retirement. I quite often use an analogy of, you know, taking your kids to Disneyland. You need to know that it's on the corner of Anaheim Boulevard and Harvard Boulevard. You need the same answer for your retirement plan. You need to know that at age 60 and I want $40,000 a year, I need, grabbing a number, $800,000. Then work it back to here's where I am today, and it says, okay, I need to save $4,500 a year, get a 6.5% rate of return, and I'll be okay. That then takes all the mystery out of how much do I save each year? How much can I afford? It tells us exactly what we need to be doing. And that is, as I say, the crux of a financial plan is that guidance of what is it I need to do. And then it stops taking out this anxiety that everybody runs into right now of I need to do something, and I think if I'm doing something, I'm okay. Is it enough? You don't know until you get that answer.
And the answer may well be very positive. We may find out that we're contributing way too much.
And quite often, yeah, it is. I mean, reality being, if we can find ourselves contributing too much, just keep doing it, because then you're going to have a better retirement.
Of course.
But yeah, certainly at times, those are the strange individuals that do that have been hanging on to too much money. Most are the opposite side of the coin, where it's all of a sudden becoming this big task. The other side as well is the younger you are, it's never cheaper today as it'll ever be.
Right.
Next year, it's going to be more expensive because you got one less year of time to start saving.
Is there anywhere else you can find, like where else do you dig other than RRSP loans like we looked for money to put into these RRSPs?
There's a couple of other locations. Some, first and foremost, are what we call an in-kind transfer. That being if you have mutual funds, stocks, bonds, GICs that are outside of an RRSP, you actually can just transfer them inside. So, for example, if somebody has $5,000 in what's called a non-registered investment account, say they've got it in a portfolio of stocks or mutual funds, they can just do a transfer in-kind, move the asset as is, into the RRSP, and it's as though it was you putting cash into it. it has the exact same tax impact from a contribution standpoint. Other locations are, as you say, we've talked about the RSP loan, but some are larger loans, what we call catch-up contributions. Those are ways and means as well to consider in getting another contribution over and above just trying to find cash in February.
That was certified financial planner David Sweeney explaining when it's smart to borrow for your RRSP contributions, which again, deadlines are right around the corner. For the Mountain Monitor, I'm Lindsay Logan.